But let's get to our guest for today's current sports. You guys know this name, Diamond Leung, former local Michigan State sports reporter who took his talents to the Bay, covering the Golden State Warriors, a former beat writer for the Golden State Warriors, covering the Golden State Warriors. And he is now out in New York as a managing editor for The Athletic. Diamond Leung, welcome to Current Sports. Diamond, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great, Al. How are you?
Always good. It's been a long time since we talked to you, and it's always great chatting with you. And I first want to say, I think since the last time we talked, to show you how long it's been, I think you've gotten married, and now you have a baby, right?
I know. She's screaming in the background, but no, things change quickly, as they do in the NBA as well.
They certainly do. Congratulations, my man. So I wanted to say that first off. And now I want to get your thoughts on what has taken place. Again, Diamond, we're not even 24 hours into, you know, the opening of free agency. It opened up 6 p.m. last night. And like you heard me say, I think it's the craziest opening that we've ever seen in free agency when it comes to any professional sport in America. What have been your takeaways to what has transpired?
Crazy indeed. Not a lot of sleep for a lot of reporters, obviously, but just the shock of the Warriors being dismantled, from one day to the next, and D'Angelo Russell ending up on the Warriors. It's a lot of things are setting out here. And then from where I am, New York, throughout the season, I think a lot of people would have thought that, oh, maybe Kyrie and KD head to the Knicks and, you know, they want to play in the Mecca. And then things change and, you know, the injury happened and all of a sudden there was momentum being built in Brooklyn and the Nets make the playoffs. And now here we are. And it's stunning, I think, because of kind of the short history that the Nets have with Brooklyn. This is a franchise that really, I think, has been searching ever since that disastrous trade to build its fan base and build some momentum and add some star players, but they've been unable to draft anybody. And now to kind of pull this off, when you have the Knicks in your backyard, I think is just incredible.
It is really incredible. The Nets came out of nowhere. And before I get to, your thoughts on the Nets and this move, I want to go back to your days at Golden State just briefly here. And I want you to kind of read the tea leaves as to what has happened out in Golden State now with KD leaving. And I believe that the dynasty is now over. They also, you know, as I mentioned in the headliners, Andre Iguodala, they shipped him. He is now in Memphis now with the Grizzlies. From your time covering this team, you know, because you were right there in the glory days and this dynasty really forming and taking shape, and seeing where this franchise is now, what do you make? And even that report that, you know, that Connor Mathis, our engineer for today's show, just read about, you know, KD feeling disrespected. What do you make of all of that and just how this team has evolved to where it is now?
You know, during my time out there, I didn't get a chance to cover Kevin Durant. But what I did see was kind of the beginnings of that first championship team form through that first championship. And mm-hmm. I think what I did see was just how the entire franchise, the entire area is just so smitten with Steph Curry, right? I mean, here's a guy that, battled through so many injuries, kind of put the franchise on his back and became somewhat of a surprise superstar. You weren't quite sure when he was drafted. You weren't quite sure even in those first 2 years. And all of a sudden he just kind of made this leap and everybody just really fell in love with him. And I think, I think when they added Durant, you know, there was so much criticism, you know, thrown toward Durant's direction. And, they won championships, no doubt. They had a lot of success together. And I think at the end of it, you saw, and I don't think anybody can argue this, but Kevin Durant is a sensitive guy. He cares a lot about what's being said. He has this idea that there will be a legacy to kind of help uphold in his mind. And I think, you know, what that story references is kind of not wanting to play that second fiddle. You know, maybe that can be termed that he felt disrespect. Maybe it can be seen as something else. But I think in the end that he probably understood that this ultimately was Steph's team and perhaps he wanted to go in a different direction.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Diamond. And I want to ask you this, my man. When looking at this team and what it looks like, you know, Klay Thompson has re-upped, but, you know, we probably won't see him until maybe March with this whole torn ACL situation. Do you think the Warriors dynasty is over? Is it done?
You know, I don't think we're quite ready to bury them. I think when they still have three of the foundational pieces. Now, they're not getting any younger, no doubt. But they, you know, once I think for next year is going to be tough. On the other hand, once Klay does come back, you still have the so-called Splash Brothers. Many believe it, you know, is the best backcourt, you know, perhaps in history. Then you have D'Angelo Russell, and, you know, he perhaps could be, you know, a piece that could be traded for something else. And, you know, it'll be very intriguing to see how he plays alongside Curry next year. But, yeah, I would not totally give up on them yet. And, you know, this was a team that kind of was built, you know, on its culture. And, you know, it wasn't kind of designed to be this whole star stacking thing at the start. And now they've gotten that label during the past past few years. But I think, you know, if you strip it all away, they still have shooting. And now it's just about what their front office can do to kind of bolster that lineup.
Yeah, I think that the Warriors are still going to be players. But and I think we can both agree, Diamond, though, that the dominance, you know, we were legitimately debating, you know, Golden State Warriors or the field. You know, I think that dominance is kind of shifted in a way, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think you know the NBA race is wide open next year. I don't even know if the Warriors are quite in the championship discussion anymore, which is already stunning to say.
Yeah, and we're looking at Vegas odds right now, Diamond. I'm looking at the odds, and they actually have the LA Lakers number one, and maybe Vegas know something that we don't know when it comes to this two spot. The Milwaukee Bucks are two, and then at three are the Golden State Warriors. So that's how it looks right now. And the Lakers being the favorites, I think maybe Vegas is trying to cover its tail, hoping that Kawhi Leonard makes the decision to go to L.A.
Right. Also, people like betting the Lakers in general. So.
Right. Right. They do. Very true. Okay. The finger on the pulse out in New York, you being out in New York now, and, you know, when this move was made, I'm curious to know what conversations have been like in your view when it comes to this move. And how many Brooklyn Nets fans are out there in NYC, Diamond?
You know what? You know, and I don't live in Brooklyn. I live in Manhattan. But
right.
You know, I walked out on the street. The first thing I saw was a Nets jersey, and I have never, ever once seen that. Never. And, you know, it's kind of not really a discussion point, you know, even, you know, obviously, you know, they had a tremendous playoff run in terms of getting to the playoffs. And you know, that kind of opened some eyes, I think, more among NBA observers. But I would say in town, yeah, you know, you saw some increased interest. And, you know, there's certainly a passionate kind of fan base that was existing here from some fans from the New Jersey era. Some new and younger fans, you know, from that Brooklyn area. But yeah, by and large, it's kind of more of a team that, you know, is kind of a mystery from people within its own city. And you know, now everybody will know, because that's where, you know, New York is about its stars, and the Knicks don't have them, and now the Nets do.
Yeah, that's certainly true. Do you think that the Knicks can ever be relevant? Maybe in the next, I don't know. I'll give it a window of 3 to 5 years. Do you see that happening, Diamond?
You know, they would have to they would have to build up for another splash, you know, in free agency. And, you know, can they get Giannis? You know, and I think it does all come down to culture, right?
Right.
You know, if they can possibly, you know, develop their young players, whether it's Kevin Knox, whether it's RJ Barrett, and get some momentum there and start building a winning culture, have build some confidence within their front office and maybe their ownership, you know, we'll see. But I think they have to start there in terms of what goes on the court. And, you know, when you're the worst team, hey, we get it. You might be tanking, you might be getting the pick, but it's not a good look to win 17 games. It's just not.
And that doesn't necessarily guarantee that you
view of the team.
Yeah, and well, like you said, Diamond, also it doesn't necessarily anymore guarantee that you get that top spot in the NBA draft, right?
Exactly. You're exactly right. And, you know, once the ping pong balls went a certain way and they didn't get Zion, that was another big blow. And, you know, at the same time, that's where they do have to start. Hey, you can't just wait for that ping pong ball to drop your way. You've got to develop RJ Barrett, right? And I think it starts there. Kevin Knox, Mitchell Robinson, you know, they do have some young pieces who could possibly develop. At the same time, you also have concerns about ownership, concerns about just a long, you know, frustration, you know, that's kind of cast itself over this franchise. And can they get out of it? Well, it remains to be seen.
Yeah, that's very true. All right, Diamond. Well, before we get you out of here, man, I got to know, how are you liking the move from the West Coast to the East Coast now? How are you loving NYC, man?
Oh, the winters are cold for sure, but not as cold as Michigan.
Right, so, exactly, right.
So, yeah, it warmed up a little bit for me, I guess. But, no, it's been fun living out here. And, you know, just the as you probably experienced, the energy of the city is like nothing else. So.
Yeah. Well, that's what I love more so about New York, because, you know, New York and L.A., those are my two favorite cities. And what I love about NYC is also, Diamond, the culture. There's so much culture. That's the melting pot of the world, really, out in New York, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. You know, they probably wanted some of those players to be at 33rd and 7th at Madison Square Garden. It just didn't happen this time. But, you know, it's a great, great city. And, you know, let's see now if they move over to Brooklyn and check out what's going on over there.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much again, folks. Diamond Leung, former Michigan State sports reporter here in the area, also former beat writer for the Golden State Warriors covering them, and now the managing editor at The Athletic. Thank you so much, Diamond. Keep up the great work, man, and congratulations again.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Take care.
All right, you got it, man.